near the rising billions. Disrupting tradition.
Always be closing.
Gaining exponential wisdom from street smart strategies.
I dream the kind of dreams that other people said would not be possible.
Free your mind. Nothing happens till something moves.
I'm a big fan of going all in on your strengths.
Create your blue ocean. Innovation and collaboration with competition.
Do you want to sell sugar water for the rest of your life? Or do you want to come with me and change the world?
Creating uncontested market space.
I worry that people don't tap into their strengths.
Wealth creation and a new economy entrepreneur.
There is a very thin dividing line between success and failure.
Witnessing unprecedented technology.
You can fail at what you don't want, so you might as well take a chance on doing what you love.
Welcome to the Think Bold, Be Bold Show with Christopher Gumby and Alan Mitch.
This podcast is part of the C-Suite Radio Network, turning the volume up on business.
Hi, it's Christopher Cumby with Think Bold, Be Bold. I'm here with Alan Witch, my most awesome co-host in the world, my only co-host in the world. Alan, I hear you chuckling. Every time I say that, you laugh. And I'm really excited about today. I'll tell you, this guy's the real deal. I like him a lot. He's just a super cool dude. And he's local to me. So that obviously makes him super cool because he lives at the beach. He's smart. He's smart like me, if you would consider me smart, of course. Alan, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing great, Chris. Thanks for that nice intro. This is great doing this podcast with you. It is a it's a blast. We finally figured out what we're doing with it over the last year and a half. So that's awesome. It's been a fun run. I'm excited to get to know this guy. I know you guys got a lot of history, and that's great. And I'm just going to kind of sit back in awe a little bit today. But
hang out with Philip, I'm in.
There you go. I got to get down there because obviously I just need to come down there. That's all there is to it. It's just an airplane right away in like 8 hours, so it's not really a problem. I'll get there and we'll hang. We'll have the local drink. We'll have a good time. But it's the beach. So I do have pants on. That's awesome. I do wear shorts at the beach, so I guess we could do our cast in shorts and our wonderful Think Bold Be Bold t-shirts. And
yes. We're both sporting them today.
That's right. We are sporting them today.
And I got my Just Started hat.
I like that. Thank you, Derek.
Right? Yes. Awesome. And that's just a local member we have in our mastermind for the audience listening in. He's got a wonderful concept coming out for entrepreneurs, the Startup Syndicate, which is really exciting. Incorporates some great technology, AI technology, which I'm super cool about.
State-of-the-art AI
super excited about, I should say. But anyway, let's get into it and introduce our awesome guest.
Awesome. I love this. I'm always intrigued with the political environment. I'm intrigued with what's real and what's BS. And I'm intrigued with really getting down to what is really the DNA of a person that's going to be in the public eye. And today's guest, man, I'll tell you, I can't really think of anybody that's got a better handle on the geopolitical landscape than today's guest. I mean, he's been on just about every show. He's worked with senators with lawyers, with presidential candidates, all sorts of folks. He knows the landscape inside and out. His experience reads like a presidential candidate, I have to say. His media connections are nothing less than stellar. And he's got a new book coming out, Fire Them Now. I think it's exciting, and I want to get into it, and I don't want to wax anymore. So, Philip Stutz, welcome to Think Bold, Be Bold, my friend.
Thank you for having me. Excited to be on. Let's roll.
You betcha.
Philip is in the house. I finally got him to come on our show, even though we've known each other for a while. But, you know, how appropriate, you know, timing. because he's got his book out, and I'd love to just dive right into it. Philip, yeah, thank you for being on the show, taking some time out of your busy schedule, and I know you're relaxing a bit at home before you get back on the road and hit that circuit you're on. But let's talk about just fire them now. It, first of all, is or fire them now, I should say. I think it's a great title. Tell us about that because, well, let's start here.
Sure.
I'd rather give people a little bit of a background on, what Alan had talked about and, where you've camped in the last little while. Then we'll get into the book.
Yeah.
But tell us, bring us through a brief history of time, if you'd like. And, where did all this kind of come from? Where, how did you get involved in this? You could be doing a million different things. You know, why this?
Yeah, it's a great question. Listen, I started my career in 1996 helping Bob Dole, who was president at the time, and ended up after that working for about four more presidential campaigns. I ran a governor's race, helped run a U.S. Senate race, and then ended up working for the Republican National Committee over two election cycles. Where we helped hundreds of congressional races, candidates, a lot of U.S. Senate candidates. And then I started my own company in helping elect politicians to office. And then in about 2012, the first sort of – I had always been this political marketer for all these years. And then the first sort of hit happened that led to this book, which was in 2012, I was diagnosed with an incurable disease. And that, I have a rare esophageal disease. My esophagus will never work for the rest of my life. And the doctors basically said that within about 10 to 15 years, I'll be on a feeding tube for the rest of my life. And for the first 5 years of that diagnosis, I didn't do anything about it. I kind of stuck my head in the sand. Here I am, an innovator in politics. Here I am. An entrepreneur, a guy that, as the title says, thinks boldly. But when it came to my own health, I did nothing about it. And along that timeline, I started a digital marketing company in politics. And, we grew the company 500% in 3 years. And we worked on over 120 races in the first political races in the first 3 years. And I was still totally paralyzed by this disease that I had and sort of the disruption that was coming, right? And so, basically about a year ago, I went to a conference with Peter Diamandis, the Abundance 360 conference, and he basically laid out this, he said, I want you to come out with a moonshot for your own life. And I thought it would be about business. It ended up being that within 5 years, I would try to find a cure to my disease, and that has led into this unbelievable path for me over the last year. And what happened is the confluence of my political past and my disease, and at the same time, I started talking to CEOs and business owners all across the country, and they were telling me about the paralysis of and the fear that they were facing with a changing economic landscape. And they kept telling me how they felt like they were getting screwed over by their digital marketing companies. And so at one point I was in China last summer with Peter Diamandis and a CEO of a Fortune 500 company. And he was giving me the same story I hear everywhere I go about digital marketers in the corporate sphere. And I looked at him and I said, well, what are you doing? Just fire them now. And then that was the genesis. And I was like, oh, that's a good title for a book. And started writing the book. And really, the book is about applying political principles to businesses. And okay. I can happily jump in, but I'll kind of stop there and then let you go on.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, a couple of questions. You kind of fired right through, and it sounded like you didn't address what you were diagnosed. Bring me through your thought process on that, because, obviously it's when you talk about what it looks like after time, time goes on, that's pretty scary. It must be. But somehow you just barreled through. And You know, we love Peter Diamantis, by the way. You know, part of the reason that this show is called Think Bold, Be Bold, is because, you know, Alan and I have that glue that keeps us together because we were at an event and Bold came out and we were just like all over it. So that's where this show came from, paying homage to Peter. And now we have this connection through you and you being part of that Abundance 360, which wonderful. Wonderful group
Fantastic
of people,
organization.
And I love the Moonshot Challenge. But you know, getting back to you know, kind of barreling through because you were diagnosed in 2012. You know, 5 years had to go by. You know, you kind of put your head in the sand. It sounds. What went through your head? Were you just trying to like ignore it? Maybe you know, I'm just interested in. You know, obviously now you're addressing it. You right. know, and you've gone through. A year of figuring stuff out, which I can't wait to hear some of the things because I know you're doing some experimental stuff and cool. But I do want to hang on that just for a moment before we get into the book. And by the way, I love the name of the book, and I love how those things come together. You're anywhere and everywhere, and then you throw something out, you're like, huh, sounds great. But tell us, yeah. you know, that what went through your head and you know, what was going on? You know, that's a heavy thing.
So, you know, I think anytime you get diagnosed with a disease that has no cure, you go through sort of the seven stages of grief or whatever. And mine just lasted 5 years until I decided to do something about it. But here's what I did. I turned my health and my disease over to my doctors instead of using my mind and becoming the innovator and the disruptor of my own disease. And that sounds great and all, but let me tell you this, I am being treated at the Mayo Clinic. And they, here is the way they treat you at the Mayo Clinic, the best hospital in the world. Here, they come in, they say, and this is a direct quote that they gave me, your disease is what it is. There's nothing you can do about it. Take your medicine. Take medicines no matter what the ultimate consequence of that medicine. So the medications I was taking, they were trying to prescribe opioids. They were trying to prescribe proton pump inhibitors that have a long-term effect on dementia. And for 5 years, I just took it and said, well, the doctor said I got to do this. I'm just going to do it. You know, I don't do that in business. I don't listen to other people tell me what to do in business. I go out and I try to lead and try to run a company that is incredibly innovative and unique. And I just wasn't doing it in my own health. And, you know, I knew deep down it wasn't right. But I think when I went in, here's another thing. I had 3 major surgeries and 15 minor procedures on my esophagus since 2012. And so my esophagus is completely shredded. If I eat anything with any content of sugar, fat, flour, you know, alcohol, anything like that, acid explodes into my esophagus because I have no filter down there anymore. And it's just a massive amount of pain, and it erodes my esophagus. And so my diet is very unique, to say the least. But I had to get a hold of 2 things. One is I have an incurable disease and I would love to figure out a way to cure it. And I'm on that path. And the other was I needed to get my health in order. As you can tell, I'm skinny. So you just assume I'm healthy. But the fact is that every single person has a different body makeup. And even though I could metabolize food very well, it was not healthy for me. And it was causing a lot of damage. Ultimately, what I found is it was probably an autoimmune disease that turned my body turned on its esophagus, attacked it, and killed it. And that's really what we think. But the doctors still don't even know. And that's the whole point. The greatest hospital in the world, the Mayo Clinic, basically pats me on the back and says, come in, take your medicine, get out of here. And that's it. And I just decided to do something different.
Love that.
But you made a pivot. You made a yeah. pivot in your life that that took you down a new road. I can totally understand where you're coming from. I've got terrible cardiac disease. I was born with congenital, lots of open heart surgeries and lots of paraphernalia in my body. Mine came down to a mindset change and then some right. lifestyle changes. So what was, I'm really curious as to what made that change to, it's on your shoulders now. It's not on the doctor's shoulders for you to be able to progress. You've got a physical ailment that you can't pill it and you can't cut it out. You've got to be able to deal with it somehow, right? So where does that – I want to know what that mindset change is that's allowing you to do what you do now based on having that kind of a diagnosis.
I don't care if it's my health, my marriage, the ability to be a father or to run a company. Either I'm going to lead and innovate. Either I'm going to be the disruptor or something's going to disrupt me. And that's sort of how I have to approach it. And so, look, I told a lot of people this. I spend, you know, time each week focused on my health, not working out, but thinking and studying what I need to be doing. And that's the only way I'm going to grow. And I carve out a couple hours each week to think about how I'm going to be a father, a better father, how I'm going to be a better husband. In addition to the fact that I spend, you know, 80 hours a week trying to run a business and trying to grow a business and be innovative and think differently. But you have to do those things. If you're not constantly being proactive, you will be overtaken by the reactive nature of society.
Absolutely.
And the ultimate answer to that is we are in the most disruptive time in human history. We're in a 10, 15 year window that the world will look completely different. And every single job in our economy worldwide will be disrupted. Everything. And it's not about, let's say, the, you know, self-driving cars, like that's one, right? That it's not about the fact that we won't drive cars anymore. It is, what is the second order consequences of that? What's the third order consequences of that? And the second order consequences, right, like literally off, you know, off the top of my head, you could say this: how are governments going to be funded when there are no more speeding tickets, no more parking tickets because we have self-driving cars? How are emergency rooms going to handle the fact that they're going to have to cut nursing jobs down because, you know, we're going to have basically 99% ER cut on at traffic accidents with 38,000 less people dying every year in a traffic accident? What happens to organ donors when people are on organ donor lists and there's no organs to be given because we've 38,000 people a year are donating their organs through death by car? So there are, and I could go on and on and on.
It's a rabbit hole.
So there are so much disruption in the world, and you either recognize it's coming and address it in every facet of your life, or it'll overtake you.
Absolutely,
and that's a really
great,
good point.
Great analogy,
including medical advancements, and I love your attitude towards that. And I think it was Peter, or I read something, you know, maybe from one of his people that, you know, really over the next 10 years, medical advancements will address so many different diseases, whether it be nanobots or some sort of new technology that we're not even aware of yet. But, you know, I love your attitude and I love what you've done, and you just went at it, and you wrote a book and you're busy and you're focused on obviously your health and your family, and you're still out there banging things and disrupting yourself in a lot of ways by doing something that, you know, a lot of people don't go to. So I want to jump into the book because not a lot of people write a book. We talk about a book. I think the numbers say that 85% of people out there want to write a book, but they never do. You had a thought process that came across and it said fire them now. Let's talk about fire them now. And, you know, what did you write about? And let's let the audience know. And listen, audience, this is a great time to take out the journals if you already haven't, because this is when value bombs come out and, you know, really good ideas. And, you know, that's what we try to draw out of our audience, or our guests, I should say, for the audience, is things that you can look at in your life and, you know, really address. And, you know, you heard Philip talk about some of the things that, unfortunately, some people are faced with. But at the same time, I think we all go through life unscathed in some way, whether it's financial, relationships, you know, health, and so on. But it's all relatable. It's all transferable in terms of how you show up. And Philip, you showed up and you wrote a really great book, and you're going to be on a lot of cool shows. Our cool show is starting it all off, so I'm really excited about that.
We're the precursor show.
Yes, we're the precursor. We're getting the jitters out.
Yeah.
We're grateful as well. But let's talk about fire them now, and, you know, that principle that you just, you know, touched on just before we got into how you're addressing things going forward, specifically around your health, but talked about political principles and applying them to business. What is the book all about, and where do we get it?
Yeah, it's a great question. So, you know, first of all, I think any business owner out there that is that loves to learn and look at things in unique ways, like, this is learning how we do things on political campaigns and how they can transfer to businesses. So it's a great, in a way, there's a lot of metaphorical looks at this book that I think can help people look at what they do and go, oh, if I apply these three things, that could help my business. I came into this thing accidentally, actually, Chris, because I've been running political campaigns for 20 years. I've been a political marketer forever. And a friend of mine came to me a few years ago and said, I am so intrigued by what you do in politics. I'm wondering if it could translate to business. And I said, oh, that's interesting. Why don't we try an experiment? And that led, that one, you know, request from a friend, I did not solicit it, actually kind of snowballed into a larger marketplace and kind of snowballed into how this book works. We found that when we took the secrets of what we do on political campaigns and applied them to businesses, we ended up having massive ROI. And at the same time, I started talking to CEOs, and over the last 2 years, I've talked to over 100 CEOs from Fortune 500 companies to small businesses, and every one of them came back to me with the exact same frustration they had in the digital marketing space, that they felt that digital marketers were taking advantage of them, spending their money, looking out for their bottom line before the business's bottom line. And I kept hearing this over and over and over. And as I alluded to earlier, the last one, before I started writing this book was this Fortune 500 CEO that I told he should be firing his digital marketing firm. And really that was the genesis of the book. And so we started applying political principles to businesses and started seeing incredible growth. We started seeing the amount of time and the amount of money cut almost in half on what they were spending to their ROI. And one example is the guy that we ended up working with. He owns a real estate development company, and he had a marketing team, and they had spent five figures on a marketing campaign. And he was very frustrated by the results. He ended up bringing me in to try what we do. And so, you know, we really focus, you know, look, the bottom line is we are in a customer driven economy. Right. And a lot of businesses and a lot of marketers don't think that way. They think they're in the product driven economy. My product is amazing. My service is the best. People will love it if I just tell them about it. And in politics, we completely think differently. I love business owners, but I love their customers more. Because right. In politics, we think of voters first. Right. We don't That's think the of the candidate. Is. We think, what yeah. do the voters want? That's the only way we elect candidates. And so when we went in and took a different approach and honed in on the targeting of the customer and understanding what they valued, and then running our campaigns that way, we ended up having massive success. In this one campaign, we ended up having a 700% positive difference on return on investment compared to the corporate marketing firm that did this all the time. And so we just went, my God, what we're doing on the political side has a lot of value to businesses. And so the way I look at this again is it's a customer-driven economy. And I approach that in everything I do. So when a client, you know, hires us, that client must succeed before I succeed. That doesn't mean I work for free, but I have my contracts are, you can cut my contract immediately if I'm not producing for you. And what we found was every marketing firm that we heard from these CEOs is they were locked into these 12, 18 months.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Contracts.
Yeah.
So the marketing firm got paid regardless of they succeeded or not. And in politics, in 20 years, I've never had a contract that didn't have a 3 to 4 week out. So wow. If I'm not producing every day for my candidates, I'm out of a job. And if my candidates don't win, I'm out of a job. So my candidates have to win first before I can tout my success and make more money. That's the way the economy should be driven, and that's what we're trying to help businesses understand the way they need to be thinking.
100%.
Yep. You're looking at the bottom line of those whose life you are changing, not those whose life you're in business with. Because at the end of the day, we're all there to help support our demographic, right? Help to elevate the demographic. Right. And that's a fantastic whole approach to what you're doing. I'm just curious, as you're out in the marketplace doing all of this, and you know, other, for the lack of a better word, you know, competitors are watching. Have you seen a shift, a pivot from other folks in your arena following your lead, or are they still in denial?
You talking about corporate marketing firms?
Yeah, other yes. What I would consider, you know, competitors to what you do.
Yeah. No. No, they're not changing because it's like this. I'm going to go back to what we talked about. There is a disruption coming. Right. The disruption is that the client, the customer is in charge. Look at Uber. Look at the way, you know, Yelp works. The customer is in charge of this society right now. And if you can't deliver to the customer, they're going to move on very quickly. If you can't show a relationship to the customer or the client, you're going to be gone. Sally Hogshead is an author, a marketing researcher. She's written a couple great books. She says that by getting authenticity and building relationships, she did a study, a 10-year study of 250,000 businesses and business owners. And it found that if you are authentic and customer-driven in your business and build relationships rather than transactions, you will have a 200% increase in growth in your business over time. So, like, the statistics are there.
Right.
And I'm always shocked when businesses are so put their needs above their clients' needs. And maybe I shouldn't, but I can't compete in the political marketplace unless I work that way. I'm dead. I'm dead if I do that. And so we brought that mentality to helping businesses, and not only, and it forces us. Think about this one thing: without a long-term contract, and the fact that, you know, we only succeed if they succeed. How innovative do I have to be to succeed? How do I think differently for my clients when innovation is everything, right? I'm not thinking about how do I keep this client, how do I make sure I don't rock the boat, and let's produce content that doesn't mean anything. I'm about how do we push the ball down the field, how do we win? And I think that if you want to know, that's the real key difference I found. In politics, we win or we die, we're over, we're done, we're out of business. And I don't know if marketers think about winning. They think about brand management, and they think about hey, what can I do to put some content out? And like, no, it is about growing. It's about winning. And that's how we think.
If you're not visible, relatable, and transparent, you're not going to be anywhere over. Period. I don't care. Pick your industry. Like you're talking about, people have to be able to see that you're authentic. You have to be able to see that you're relevant in their life, not in your life, but in their life. They'll follow you. They'll do what you do. They'll do what you suggest. But your competition, like you said, may not. We're so stuck on our habits, right? We're so stuck on societal norms that we would rather stay. We'd rather not change than change, regardless of what the overall collateral benefit might be. So it's not uncommon that would happen. Yeah.
It is. Absolutely human nature.
Yep.
And,
very much so.
You know, the customer's more savvy today. I mean, let's face it. You know, they have access to more information than ever before. You know, we have, more people coming on the internet around the world. The economy, in scale is growing. And we have access, primarily to know what BS is out there and what's not. So if you're not focused on their needs, you're going to get caught up in that very, very quickly. You're not going to last long. And negative reviews will destroy you very, very quickly because it's easy to do. Thank you to, you know, Facebook and all these other review companies out there, whether you're a restaurant or travel or whatever else, with TripAdvisor or Yelp, as you mentioned. Hey, I got a question for you to pivot along the way here. And and get some interesting information out of Philip and your genius. You know, for you personally, you travel, you're running a company, you have to be a father, you have to be a husband, and all those things. And staying efficient is obviously important, because if you're not, then, you know, you can easily get frustrated. And not that frustration doesn't set in for everybody at some given time, but you've got a lot to deal with. What is your favorite tech, you know, that you either have or you use that, you know, as a busy CEO of your company and just out there working with a lot of your clients, what's something that you really absolutely, you know, found that helps you? As part of our show, Philip, is providing insight to successful people like yourself that are out there changing the world, doing really cool things and focused on the right things. And I love that, customer-driven society, economy. By the way, you know, you're the first that had said that on our show. And we've talked to lots of, you know, business owners, and not that they were wrong, but I just love how your approach is and what you look at, and that's wonderful to know. But what's your favorite piece of tech, you know, whatever it may be, that helps you do what you do?
Yeah, did you say hack or tech?
Tech, sorry. Tech. And then we'll get to a hack. Okay. Yes, then we'll get to a hack.
You know, I would tell you, I don't know if it's, you know, as crazy as it sounds, it's just Google. You know, just my calendar and the way that we work on the cloud now and how we can share everything and quickly move everything. It's not, I wish I could say it's fancy. We obviously play on all the social media channels, but just being able to be on the cloud, because I live remotely from my own company. And that's mainly, it's just I have to be in touch and I have to understand, you know, there's another. So everybody uses Slack right now. And we have just switched out of Slack and we just started working with an app called Task World, which is Slack-like. It costs less. You can add in, it's a communication channel like Slack, but you can also add in all your company tasks, whether it be for clients, whether it be internal. We do a ton of work on culture in our company. And so we have a Task World channel on just culture that we monitor all of our tasks in there. And so it kind of combines, you know, Slack is just a communication channel. Task World adds in, you know, the ability to track all the projects we're working on, including being able to communicate effectively within each other. So awesome. There's one. I just thought of it. Sorry.
I love it. And you're right. The cloud has provided, you know, the ability for you to be connected with your team and, you know, be where you need to be and travel. But there you go, Alan. Isn't that amazing?
That's
when
fantastic.
When you ask,
you
shall
be
receive.
Given. There you go.
We had asked.
Somebody else said that before, long time ago.
Someone said that. But anyway, Philip, we were talking the other day. It's like, well, our team is growing. And, you know, we were asking ourselves, like, what do we use? You know, we knew about Slack. But it's like, what do we, like, what, there's got to be something out there that, you know, and then here it is, you know, Task World. So, Alan, duly noted.
We talked about this yesterday.
We talked about
yesterday.
It. Well,
how
just,
are we going to – we've got so much going on. We got to be able to conglomerate this whole thing, track and monitor it. So if one of us gets hit by a bus, God forbid, and we're unable to speak for 10 minutes, somebody else can go in and be able to pick up the
now we
know. So that's awesome. Thank you so much. That's a fantastic tool. We're definitely going to look at that.
For sure. I'll throw it out there. Nicole, when you listen to this, we need Task World.
Yep.
And she's our production manager, and she's awesome, and she's the master juggler, we call her, because she handles a lot of cool things. But this is now going to give us the capability, Alan, really know where things are, and I'm excited about that. So
thank you, Philip,
for that. Where are we going, Alan? Let's bring out some more genius
new
ideas.
Places. Given what you've seen, the pivots that you've made – in your business and the pivots that you've made in your life, and I know you're a student of Peter Diamandis, and Peter's always looking towards, you know, what's next. you know, what's next, not just something that's unique, but what is really next on that definite line in your life. So I guess that's the question, is what's next for you?
Well, we're, you know, it's interesting. I am a marketer by trade. And I thought that the most fun thing I could do was to be marketing my book. What I realized is how much I enjoyed being a CEO and running my company, and how much I want to go back, because I've taken significant time off to write the book. But how excited I am to take the lessons and all the things that I've learned in the last few months from the marketing campaign and writing the book and come back and run my business and really just grow the company. I'm uberly passionate about working every day to improve, you know, whether it be our org chart, our strategy, our culture, all of these things. I like getting into the weeds. I like studying. Listen, you know, I live at the beach. One of the things that I do is I download great business podcasts like this one, and I go walk on the beach like at 4 a.m. a couple days a week. And anybody ever is on the beach at this time or in their houses or condos and they see me, there's no doubt that the police have been called, because I'm on my phone typing notes of ideas that I'm coming up with.
It's hilarious.
The way that I sort of brainstorm and think. And I'm excited to go back to doing that again. I'm excited to learn and grow. I'm just, everything about my entire life is about growth, personal growth, professional growth, health growth. And I'm just excited to get back in the weeds and grow again.
Man after my own heart.
I love that.
On the beach.
I love that.
Yep. Thinking, listening, learning, growing, asking questions. I'm going to meet you at 4 a.m., brother. Where are you going to be? that's awesome. And what a great place to do that where you do live. And you know, the opportunity is something to be grateful for. And I love that you want to go back and, you know, just be that entrepreneur and create and, you know, take all of that stuff, you know, from your journey the last little while and implement it in your own business as you helped other people do that in theirs. As you were researching, chatting with the CEOs that you've had discussions with, solving problems, and then, you know, coming back and saying, this is what we're going to do and lead that team. And it just demonstrates that, you know, leadership inside of you is itching to get back in the saddle. And that's exciting. I'm excited for you for sure. I love where you're going. And, you know, I can't wait to dive in the book. So I'm going to have to journey down to the beach at 4 a.m. to get you to sign mine.
Come on. That's right. I'm glad to.
Yeah, for sure. Alan, let's, you know, these shows go so quick.
They go so fast.
But we still have some time. We still have some time. We're keeping an eye on things.
Yeah. I got a question.
Yeah,
before we get into that, how do people get a hold of you? What's the best way to get a hold of you?
Yeah, you can go on Twitter at Philip Stutz, my name. You can also email me, ps@philipstutz.com. That's the direct way.
Wait.
Perfect. Love Twitter.
Twitter is fantastic.
Most definitely. So we talked about what's next, and you know, obviously you're going back in the saddle and you're taking all this stuff. What do you do for fun? You know, that's something that, you know, sometimes overlooked, you know, with a lot of people, but I always like to know busy guys, you know, like yourself and you know, all the things you've got going on. What's your fun factor?
That escape piece.
Yeah, I think it is two things. If I'm on my own, I love to play golf. And if I'm with my family, I love to head out to the beach and spend the day swimming in the ocean and playing with my little girl and laughing a lot. So those are my keys. And I'm great, you know, I think you said something, Chris, that was really important, which is gratitude. Because ultimately, I'm just grateful for opportunities, and I'm grateful for my family and for the people that have, you know, helped me along the way. You know, entrepreneurs, a lot of us can say we're self-made men or women, and I just think that's total BS. I think that we have an incredible support system that allows us to do crazy, wild, fun things. And I'm very, very grateful for the people behind me that helped me along the way.
That is the truth, isn't it? We do have, you know, the adult playground as an entrepreneur to go and create and have some fun. But, you know, I love that you brought it back to being grateful for the things you do have. And, you know, being able to then share that with the people that you love the most and, you know, that you care about. And the fact that, you know, you're like me, I like to laugh a lot. You know, I try to laugh a lot because it's such a vibration and frequency. And, you know, folks, everybody goes through stuff. Everybody has things that, you know, if you want to call them darts being thrown at you. But there's a wonderful tool that we all have, and that is the ability to help bring our vibration and frequency up, because we all know that if you relate it back to physics, hey, you attract, you know, those things around you from how you feel. And laughter is just such an opportunity to get that up. And, you know, I think wonderful things come from that, and it helps you get through things, quite frankly. So I'm a firm believer that laughing is a wonderful tool that's overlooked. And I always look to hang out with people that, you know, definitely make me laugh. So if I need a good laugh, you know, Philip, I'll have to give you a call, since we're both guys that like to laugh. A great goal. Yeah. Usually Alan's the one that's, you know, got a lot of humor every time we're – so I'm very surprised he hasn't pulled out something yet out of the – but it might be too early.
You know, it's not too early, but some of my tech's not working, because I was just going to nail something, but the tech's not working, so we're going to have to let it go. Sorry, Joelcom, I can't bring that out. But yeah, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yes, you? I do.
You know, there's tomorrow's not guaranteed, guys, right? I mean, especially if for any reason, and those that have been in the had some touches with you know, some health things, maybe beyond our control. It's difficult. So with, you know, knowing that tomorrow's not guaranteed, you know, play today. You know, play, have fun, you know, contribute and do good stuff, but try to suck as much as you can out of today and try to give as much as you can today, because I truly believe that it helps you tomorrow. And Absolutely. That's, you know, just an only piece. But Matt, you know, I'm looking at my clock and it's been darn near 50 minutes. We used to look at these podcasts and we're going, okay, 10 minutes, 9, 16. God, what else are we going to talk about? 19 minutes. Now it's like we just start and the clock's over.
When you bring on interesting people and they have a lot of value and you just get into a fireside chat, it's easy to, you know, certainly the time, you know, can certainly go fast. And we, you know, honor you for what you're doing, you know, Philip, for nice. The fact that you brought some really good ideas to the table for people. Again, you're going to be featured on C-Suite Radio, which we're really excited, and that's a bigger contingency of people. And again, we're on iTunes, Google, Stitcher, Podomatic are our platforms. And, you know, we're going to do our best to get this out there to help you with that book. I think it's going to be a wonderful book. Can't wait to dive in. Typically speaking, I would go and, you know, at least breeze through, have a book ahead of time. And, you know, to be honest, I haven't yet, but I can't wait to. And I will come out and, you know, since Twitter's your thing, I will do some tweeting and I will connect with my social following as well as, you know, our team and so forth.
Hey, Chris, if it's okay, I want to offer your listeners one final, you know, like I said, this is the customer-centric society. One of the things we did with this book was we, at the end of the book, and I'll offer it without reading to your listeners without reading the book, but we have a free digital marketing audit at the end of the book. Basically, I wanted to go in and give companies the ability to track their digital footprint and to see if their marketing performance was poor, and if not, give you as a business owner the answers of what you should demand from your marketing firm or what you should look for. And it's interesting, in doing this, 90% of the audits we've for businesses. They've overspent or been overcharged on their websites, or they have, where everything right now is on video, and very few businesses have understood that Facebook and, you know, Google and YouTube are all of their ad platforms are driven by the amount of video you put out. And so we'll help businesses do this, and we'll do a complimentary for free for your listeners if they have any interest in kind of understanding where they stand in the digital digital world right now.
Awesome. How do they access that, Philip?
Sure. It's philipstutz.com/audit.
Bang.
And
there you heard it. I love value.
Yep.
You did what I say at the end of this show, and I certainly still will say it. You did something nice for someone today. Listeners, take advantage of that. Understand what's going out. You know, truly take advantage of these things. Obviously, Philip has spent numerous amount of hours working with companies that he's been able to increase the ROIs, as you heard. Take full advantage of that, and we appreciate it. If you don't look at whether it's business or personal, and you were to leave our audience today with something to think about that can really help them think bolder, go somewhere. It's kind of our bold move, we like to call it. What would that be?
Yeah, I would tell you every positive motion in life comes from growth. And it doesn't matter what kind of growth you decide to pursue, but if you live every day in the certainty of your own life, you will eventually have an unhappy life. There's a great quote that says, hard choices, easy life, easy choices, hard life. And for me, every single day of my life is about how can I grow. Sometimes that drives my wife insane. But I am driven every single day to try to grow, to try to improve, to try to get better with being a dad, with being a husband, and with helping my clients and running a business. And, something that doesn't get talked a lot about, but I want to grow and improve on how I manage the team that works for me and how I serve the people that work in my company. And I think those are the main things that I focus on every day. Is can I get doing that? And it all comes down to, I think if people want to have a takeaway, grow. That's the true way to grow and a true way to have happiness in life is to continuously grow.
Yeah, and it reminds me, and thank you for that. And that's a wonderful, end of the show, as we come to it. And it reminds me of the fact that it's, we live a bit of a conundrum. Because unfortunately, the only way through growth is to grow is to go through some pain, because we have to change. But I think it's so important to do that, and to again get out of that comfort zone, go grow, do something that you really want to do. And I appreciate that as being the sound off for the day. Philip Stutz, you're awesome, brother. Really appreciate you coming on. We're excited to see what you do, and when you get back in the saddle with your team, I'm sure you're going to take a lot of this stuff and apply what you just talked about and grow. Again, thank you to the audience. You guys are what we do this show for, and we really appreciate you. You can get a hold of us at info@thinkboldbebold.com, and of course, come to the website. We've got lots of things going on. We'll make sure that this free audit will be posted, and you'll be able to easily access this stuff. So again, thanks, Philip. We really appreciate you.
Hey, thank you. Enjoyed it.
Awesome. Wouldn't be a show without me saying, do something nice for someone today.